The matter of Verizon versus the Borough of Hopewell. Can we please have appearances of counsel?
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Natalie Mantel from McCarter and English on behalf of Verizon New Jersey.
Good afternoon, Joseph Toriello on behalf of Hopewell Borough.
Good afternoon and welcome. I just want to remind counsel, I'll say thank you to counsel for limiting the argument to the one question that is in front of the court on certification, the interpretation of local telephone exchange. Ms. Mantel.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. May I reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes. And if you can, try to keep your voice up, please.
Yes, will do. We're here because although the appellate division got a lot right, it erred in interpreting the term local telephone exchange in NJSA 54:4-1 in a way that is at odds with the plain language of the statute, which is known as the Business Personal Property Tax, or BPPT, and it is at odds with the legislative intent. The BPPT was amended in 1997 to revise the taxing scheme on three local telecommunications carriers during the ongoing transition to a competitive market. Following the breakup of AT&T, the divestiture of the Baby Bells, including New Jersey Bell, which is now Verizon, and the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996. The BPPT does several things. Importantly, it recognizes in the very first sentence that certain personal property can be excluded from operation of this chapter. That's distinct from an exemption, which is not at issue here. It also specifies how the tax operates. It applies to certain personal property used in the business of local exchange telephone companies that were subject to the gross receipts and franchise tax as of April 1, 1997, which it's undisputed that Verizon was. And this is key. It defines local exchange telephone company as a telecommunications carrier providing dial tone and access to 51% of a local telephone exchange. So if a local telecommunications carrier is not providing dial tone and access to 51% of a local telephone exchange, then the tax does not apply. But it doesn't define what constitutes a local telephone exchange, which is why we're here. So what did the legislature mean when it said local telephone exchange? Verizon, the leading local telephone service provider in New Jersey, and the industry as a whole have defined that term the same way Verizon does here. That definition is the array of customers served by the NPA NXX codes associated with a particular rate center. And NPA NXX codes are really just the area code and the exchange in a telephone number, which we're all very familiar with. Verizon has consistently used that definition to calculate its market share within a local telephone exchange, both when it had more than 51% of the market share and when it no longer did. That's the way Verizon has done it from the beginning. It used the information available to it and acted more than reasonably in the absence of any regulation specifying how this calculation should be made. And nobody questioned that calculation until Verizon had less than 51%. Verizon's definition is consistent with law and statutory construction principles. It's the same definition used in the New Jersey Administrative Code and by the US Supreme Court and other states. And the legislature incorporated that term of art into the BPPT, but the appellate division ignored the legislature's use of industry terminology and even said that the legislature would not have understood that term. But that is contrary to basic canons of construction and must be corrected. Hopewell claims that maps define the exchange. But just because there's a geographical component to a local telephone exchange does not mean that geography drives the analysis. The location of customers with the same area code and exchange tied to a particular rate center drives what the map looks like. The map is the result, not the cause. The area code and exchange can be depicted as having geographical boundaries, but they don't control the answer. After deregulation, the customers with a certain area code and exchange were clustered. Before deregulation, they were clustered. After deregulation, they were no longer clustered. But the definition of local telephone exchange, the NPA NXX codes tied to the local rate center did not change. The appellate division's requirement to use a map from 1974 to define a local telephone exchange today ignores the legislature's use of industry terminology, and thwarts the intent to encourage competition in the local telephone market by eliminating the tax once competition exists. As a result, Verizon asks the court to adopt Verizon's interpretation of local telephone exchange, enter judgment in its favor, and direct the appellate division to publish that portion of its opinion, holding that the statute applies annually. That concludes my opening. I'm happy to answer any questions the court may have.
So as a term of art, we should look to the technical meaning of the phrase at the time the legislation was enacted, correct?
Yes.
What does tariff A5 do in terms of informing the meaning of the phrase?
Your Honor, both the tariff that was in effect in 1997, as well as the product guide that exists now, defines exchange as a unit that was created for the purpose of, let me quote it, actually. It's a unit established by Verizon for the administration of communication service, which usually embraces a city, town, or village and its environs, and consists of one or more central offices, which may be located within or without the boundaries of the exchange. So both the tariff and the product guide define exchange the same way Verizon does here. It's with reference to the NPA and XX codes, or the area code and the exchange.
But you just read a definition and it did not include those words.
Correct, Your Honor. It does not include those words, but the unit that it refers to is the NPA and XX codes. The unit is not a map. And it also bears noting that...
Sorry, so when you say that the definition is the unit established by Verizon, that means one code?
No, it is the specific codes that are tied to the rate center. So the... And it also... This is what I was about to say, Your Honor, which I believe answers your question. The New Jersey Administrative Code also defines exchange by reference to the NXX code. It specifically says the NXX code denotes the exchange area within an area code. So the New Jersey Administrative Code.
But again, that doesn't say anything about the NXX code. That's the exchange area within an area code could also be a geographic area.
No, Your Honor, the Administrative Code says the NXX code denotes the area code. Let me back up. The NXX code denotes the exchange area within an area code. So again, the administrative code is tying the geographic area to the NXX code.
But your tariff and the product guide expressly say the territorial boundaries of the exchange areas are what are depicted in each of these.
Your Honor, it does say that. And the product guide was merely a carryover from the tariff, which was a regulatory requirement. But as our witness testified during the trial, the maps are mere representations of the customers with certain NPA and XX codes. That's how the map of the Hopewell Exchange was created in the first place in 1974. It was the location of the customers with the NPA and XX codes tied to the Hopewell Rate Center. So the question before the court really is, when should the court, or when should the local telephone exchange be determined? Should it be determined back in 1974 when that map was created, or should it be determined in the present day? And I would submit, consistent with the language of the statute and the legislative history, the statute is fluid. The statute envisions an ongoing provision of local telephone service up to a point where competition exists. And once competition exists over time, then the statute says that the tax no longer applies. And so I forgot my train of thought, Your Honor. I apologize. Going back to your question, the witness at trial, Mr. West, testified that after deregulation, the maps were no longer accurate. So, and they couldn't be accurate because Verizon doesn't have the information that is necessary to create a map now, because it doesn't have all of the locations of the customers of its competitors. And that would be what would be required to create a map. But that's impossible because Verizon doesn't have all of that information. So when its customers were clustered, when it was the only service provider in the state back in 1974 and all the way through up to, you know, 1996, when the BPU first started investigating competition, Verizon knew the location of its customers and could map their locations, and they were all clustered in a certain area. But after deregulation, when competitive local exchange companies came in, they can no longer map the location of all the customers within a local telephone exchange. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Is that because of deregulation that they can't map where they and their competitors are? And is that because the whole way that these things are configured has changed with technological advances, that the people with the exchange aren't necessarily living or working anywhere near Hopewell? Isn't that the problem?
It's both, Your Honor, yes.
Well, so it's both. To what extent is it both?
Because of deregulation, the entrance of competitors into the market allowed the competitors to assign NPA and XX codes to customers that are not necessarily located within the map, so to speak.
They could be located within the map.
They could be.
So we don't know.
But they don't have
to. Maybe I interrupted what you were trying, but so we also don't know where the competitors are in or outside of Hopewell. So, right?
Correct.
Okay. So technology, that effect.
And we know you love technology, Your Honor. It is.
We're doomed.
See.
But with the advent of technology, it really does make the maps obsolete, to be frank, because with the advent of technology, the maps were originally put into the tariff and then into the product guide to communicate the billing of certain telephone calls, right? I mean, we all remember getting a telephone bill that had certain calls in certain exchanges. They were either local or they were long distance. That doesn't happen anymore. And that hasn't happened since long before 2008 when this case arose. So the maps no longer reflect an accurate local telephone exchange. And that's really the issue that we have, because the NPA NXX codes continue to reflect the local telephone exchange. The maps no longer do.
The statute is fluid, but we are looking at a statutory definition. We are trying to define the term as of the time that the legislature put it in the statute, correct?
Yes.
So are you suggesting that the meaning of the term changes over time?
No, Your Honor. The meaning of the term is the same. And it was
looking at what the term meant in either 1989 when the statute was originally passed or 1997 when it was amended to define this phrase, correct?
Correct.
1997, presumably, when it was amended to define this phrase.
Correct. And that was on the heels of the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996. And everybody in the industry understood what that term meant. This is not a definition that has changed. It is a term of art that's been used in the industry for decades, really.
But as the chief pointed out in your materials from that time, and even all the way, I think it's from 1993 to 2014, you specifically stated that the LADAs, quote, encompass contiguous local exchange areas. So for a local exchange area to be contiguous, doesn't it have to have geography? Or doesn't it have to be geographic in some way?
It does, Your Honor. And at the time, in 1993 and up until the statute in...
This was 1993 through 2014 that you said this.
Yes, Your Honor, that because in 2014, the product guide replaced the tariff. But at the time when the statute was enacted in 1997, the LTE was contiguous because Verizon had a monopoly and it was assigning to its customers.
You didn't say that the LATA was contiguous. You said that the LATA encompasses contiguous local exchange areas, implying that the local exchange areas were themselves something that could be contiguous.
So at the so a couple of thoughts, Your Honor. First is that a LATA is separate from a local telephone exchange. There are three LATAs in New Jersey.
Right.
They're very large areas and
understood. And there are a number of local exchanges within each one.
Correct. And at the time in 1997 and in 1993, when the tariff was created, those LTEs, the local telephone exchanges within the larger LATAs, were contiguous because Verizon had a monopoly at that time. It was
no, the time is 1993 to 2014.
Yes, Your Honor. It just didn't change, essentially, because
you chose what to change or not change. So don't you have to live with how you chose to describe whatever it was for purposes of the legislature understanding what exactly it was that they were putting into the statute? They could take your definition and they could understand that it was geographic and believe when they were enacting the statute that it was geographic because that's what you told them in 1997 or in 1989.
Your Honor, the legislature understood that local telephone exchange was tied to the NPA NXX code. It wasn't solely geographic. It has a geographic component because the locations of customers with those certain NPA NXX codes can be plotted on a map. And that's exactly how they were plotted in 1974. And that's how they continued to be plotted in 1993 and in 1997. After 1997, there came competition. And as a result of that competition, it was no longer possible to plot every customer with certain NPA NXX codes on a map because—
But in 2014, as the Chief Justice pointed out, you were still saying the maps show the territorial boundaries of each exchange area.
That's true, Your Honor. And I have to concede that that's what the product guide says, but I also want to let the court know that that was a regulatory requirement. To have that product guide on file was a regulatory requirement. But in 2014,
specifically say though, right?
I'm sorry.
Its existence was a regulatory requirement, but they didn't require you to write the maps show the territorial boundaries of each exchange area, right?
Its existence, that's true, Your Honor. But the product guide, the maps really existed at that time for convenience, so to speak. At that time, both in 2014 and much earlier than that, the way that pricing was done in the industry changed completely. So the maps weren't used anymore, even at that time, to identify the price of a certain call. It's called zone pricing. There was no zone pricing anymore in 2014 or even in 2008. The entire industry changed, as Justice Solomon noted. So the maps are really obsolete. It's really a way for lay people to generally understand what a local telephone exchange is, but that's not the definition. That's not what the legislature understood in 1997 to be the definition. And also keep in mind, the industry was heavily involved in crafting this statute. That's in the past bill memo. That's everywhere. It was really a joint effort by lots of interested parties to craft this legislation. And as I said, it was on the heels of the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996, which overhauled the entire industry and got the industry ready for competition. So everybody understood at the time that it was what a local telephone exchange was. And I think what is really telling is what I mentioned before, which is the New Jersey Administrative Code put that codified that understanding into the BPU codified that understanding into the New Jersey Administrative Code.
Can you tell us that citation one more time?
Yes, Your Honor. It is NJAC section 14:10-3.1. And so the BPU also understood that this term meant it was with reference to the NPA NXX codes. That was the industry understanding. And it was essentially Verizon's approach was ratified in 2007. And that is also bears noting because it was before Verizon sent the letter to Hopewell in this case, saying that it had fallen below 51% based upon that interpretation. And it was reasonable for Verizon to rely upon that interpretation. And that's the way it had done it before that. And that's the way it has done it since. There's been no variation. Verizon has been really an incredible corporate citizen in this matter and in this area. Even when it disputed having to file this return and having to pay this tax, if it received a tax bill, it paid it and then filed a tax appeal.
There's no question before us about what a good corporate citizen Verizon is. We're just trying to understand the statute.
No problem, Your Honor. I understand.
What do you rely on to say that the legislature utilized Verizon's definition of the local exchange? I mean, I didn't see anything in the legislative history or, frankly, the cases that you talked about, U.S. Supreme Court, that suggest that they adopted that definition. They also always refer to relying on the maps and the geographic areas.
The legislative history doesn't say anything about the maps or geographic area or the definition of local telephone exchange. Again, another issue here. But the U.S. Supreme Court's decision does, in fact, comport with Verizon's definition. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Which decision?
The Verizon Communications versus FCC decision. The site is 535 U.S. 467.
Okay.
At page 490 from 2002. And the language in that decision is telling, I think. It says a transportation network for communication signals radiating like a root system from a central office or several offices for larger areas to individual telephone, faxes, and the like. It's talking
don't
about
they
the
say,
same.
Don't they specifically say within a geographic area? Local exchange is a network connecting terminals like telephones, faces, and modems to other terminals within a geographical area like a city.
Yes, Your Honor. And
doesn't that seem to be inconsistent with what you're arguing?
No, because there is a geographical component to this, but what the map looks like is driven by the people who have certain area code and exchanges. There is a geographical area. There can be a geographical area now, but the map is all over the place, so to speak, because the customers with those NPA NXX codes from competitive local exchange companies and Verizon and the other two ILEX are all over the place. But the reason that it's important for that definition to be consistent is because Verizon, if the maps are used now, Verizon can't go back and seek a refund from the municipalities where it paid the tax based upon its calculation based upon the NPA NXX codes. So there are municipalities where Verizon would not have had to pay the tax had it relied on the maps, but it did because it relied on the NPA NXX codes. And then so in those jurisdictions, Verizon can't go back. It's not possible to go back and change the calculation now because Verizon can't seek a refund in those places. But So that also brings me to a request. So if in the event the court does adopt the maps as the approach that should be used. Verizon requests that it only do so prospectively from its decision for exactly the reason I just said, because it's not, frankly, it's not fair for Verizon to have used the industry definition and relied on the industry definition consistently and to not be able to go back now. It preserved its rights in every case where it believes it was not required. It was not required to pay the tax. And for the court to change that now would really be unfair.
Counsel, we're at about 25 minutes. Is there anything you'd like to add before we bring you back on rebuttal?
No, Your Honor, I think I've covered everything.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Torriello.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. As counsel indicated, the single issue before this court is the term local telephone exchange, which is used by the legislature but not defined in the operative taxing statute. That, unfortunately, is probably where our agreement ends. This issue stakes out disparate positions. Hopewell, the trial court, and the appellate court take the position that a local telephone exchange is a geographical area defined by known boundaries. And contrary to what counsel said here today, she's actually disagreed with the testimony of Verizon's expert, Mr. West. Mr. West and Verizon took the position at trial and at the appellate court that a local telephone exchange, again, despite what was said here today, was a theoretical construct, not tethered to geography at all. That was the testimony at trial. So the problem with Verizon's position is it's contrary to the weight of the evidence, and it's contrary to their own internal documents. The product guide that is on file with the BPU today says maps are contained in separate binders. These binders contain a map for each exchange area. The maps, which are part of this section of this product guide, show the territorial boundaries for each exchange area. That statement was 100% correct in 1974, and it's 100% correct today. And most importantly, it was 100% correct on the day that the legislature crafted the statute. That was in the public domain on file with the BPU in the form of a tariff. And when Verizon changed the tariff to a product guide, they chose to adopt all of the verbiage from their tariffs into the product guide, including those maps. Second, as the trial and appellate court correctly noted, a local access and transport area, or a LATA, are important aspects of the telecommunication regulatory framework. And where the geographically defined local telephone exchanges form the building blocks of these LATAs, and they were integral to the regulation of the telecommunications industry, because after deregulation, the baby bells were not allowed to compete inter-LATA, I guess they could say intra. They had to stay within their LATA. They had to stay within their lane. They could not compete into external LATAs. So it was all about the geography. And it still is today. The LATAs are an integral component of the telecommunications regulations. Third, again, Mr. West, Verizon's internal expert, conceded at trial, and that's found noted in the appellate division opinion at SCA at page 47, that a definition of a local telephone exchange could not be tied to any specific geographic area. That was his testimony. Indeed, his synthesized definition results in dial tone and access lines located in Trenton, located in Atlantic City, or for that matter, located anywhere else in the state of New Jersey to form the Hopewell Local Telephone Exchange. That could not be what the legislature contemplated. And I would just add, as this court stated in Rosenblatt v. Lyle at 245 NJ 105 in 2021, that when interpreting the legislative intent, the court should avoid absurd results. I would suggest that this would be the poster child of an absurd result in allowing telephone and access lines scattered throughout the state of New Jersey to be the singular definition of a Hopewell local exchange. And on cross-examination, Mr. West was asked, because he testified that this was his definition. He created it out of his 35 years of experience. And he was asked that if there was any documents, let me phrase it this way. He conceded that while he advocated his synthesized definition, he could not point to a single authority or document that deployed his definition of a local telephone exchange, including all of Verizon's maps, all of Verizon's prior tariffs, and Verizon's product guide. And finally, Verizon's position is not in accord with the United States Supreme Court's 2002 description of a local exchange that I think that was alluded to in the colloquy before, where the U.S. Supreme Court described a local exchange as a network connecting terminals like telephones, faxes, modems, and other terminals within a geographical area like a city. And that's 535 U.S. 467. That's at page 489 and 490. Conversely, Hopewell correctly noted the widespread and long-held industry practice document that a local telephone exchange is as defined by Verizon in its longstanding exchange maps that have remained on file with the Board of Public Utilities from the early 1970s. They were on file with the board when the legislature adopted the statute, and they're on file today. So at bottom, geography and boundaries matter when you're defining a market. In fact, the boundaries and geography are so critical to undertaking an analysis that Verizon's own external expert at trial, Mr. Van Zelfe, conceded he could not proffer his opinion. He couldn't do his analysis without relying on the Hopewell local telephone exchange map. And that's found in the appellate court opinion SCA at page 57. This I would submit is a rather simple case to decide. This court should affirm the appellate division's affirmance of the trial court, because accepting of the borough's definition of a local telephone exchange is consistent with the common and historical understanding within the telecommunications industry. It's consistent with Verizon's own product guide on file with the BPU, as well as its former tariffs and its local exchange maps, which have been incorporated in both. It's consistent with the original geographical construct of a LATA, which still remain important today. And it's consistent with the meaning ascribed by others, whether it's the United States Supreme Court or the FCC or Nielsen or the others that Verizon's expert cited in his report, all relying on boundaries. That's how you do an analysis of a market. You need to know the product, you need to know the market. And that's what this does. So with that, do you have any questions?
Questions, anyone? Questions?
Yes, it's a question because this is something I really have difficulty comprehending among many, many other things in this area, but this is one. They are taxed for the property that they, Verizon, for the property that they have in an area. And that tax is based upon the value or the nature of that property. It could be, you know, pipes, wires, all this infrastructure that all the other companies now use, apparently, but Verizon uses also, and it's housed in a particular area. And what that area is to determine how much of that stuff and what the value of it is that is to be taxed is what's really being thought about here. But isn't, does that make any sense when nothing Verizon does that anymore, just because they have this center, this exchange center in Hopewell, serves Hopewell. It serves people probably all over the world who have Verizon cell phones, including lines at AT&T and Merrill Lynch and elsewhere. Does this make any sense for taxing purposes? Does this in any way fulfill any purpose of the tax code to tax them based on this stuff that serves a huge expanse of customers all over a region, a country, maybe the world? I mean, I'm trying to figure out how this debate bears any reasonable relationship to this tax issue anymore.
Well, there's a lot to try and answer there. And I'm going to start by saying it's been some time since I read the history of the deregulation, because that was not a question before this court. So I'm going to rely upon my memory, which can be sometimes and get me in trouble. But
I guess
concept was there.
Do all that.
Okay.
We spent too much time on it. Does that matter in this case?
Yes. It does. It's critical to this case. And actually, what counsel had requested as a relief of applying it prospectively, basically what they're saying is that they don't want to pay a tax from 2009 forward, because I think that if we were to do a market analysis in the Hopewell local exchange in 2024, they probably don't have 51%. And the tax that they're subject to would have been sunsetted by that point. The state, there are 209, there's 200 plus local exchanges in the state of New Jersey. At a particular, I think Verizon is the incumbent local exchange in 180 of them. So it's not just that there's a Hopewell local exchange, there's some 200 of them. And wherever the property is situated, that personal property that's situated, the legislature chose the scheme, and this where it kind of ties into deregulation, because there was a shuffle with the CBT tax and this other tax. The municipality, as the taxing statutes were changing and playing musical chairs, it was the municipality that was losing the opportunity to get revenue to itself. The compromise in all of this, as I understood it, was they will at least get this tax for the telecommunications industry, because it was AT&T through the deregulation that wound up paying the CBT tax because they weren't a local carrier anymore. So this was how the legislature allowed for the municipalities to continue to receive taxing revenue. I think that answers your question. And yes, it matters, because there is. I'll just use Hopewell as an example. Council said Verizon is a good citizen because they pay their taxes. Well, the truth is, as this court knows, you don't have standing to file a tax appeal unless you pay your taxes. It's a condition proceeding. They've paid from 2009 through 2000, because that's the only way they get standing to challenge the tax. And that money, if this court was to change the rules of the game, change the long-held understanding of what a local telephone exchange is, it would allow Verizon to get out of the tax that they otherwise owe. So there, it matters a great deal. It matters certainly a great deal to my client. It does. So I hope I answered.
No, you did. Okay.
What is your response to counsel's argument that not only did deregulation change the clusters of the geographical area, but so did technology, such that now there are numbers in well outside the Hopewell area that have the NPA and XX that was not the case in prior years?
Two things. First, it was never the case that a local exchange was divided by an NPA and XX code. Despite counsel's statement today that was the industry standard and long held, what is conspicuously absent is a single document that points to that fact. What there is there is inundation of documents that show that a local exchange is, as defined in their product guide, which is by territorial boundaries. What Verizon has done is they've conflated the difference between a rate center and a local exchange. And a rate center is not a geographical, it's on a map, it's just a point. And a rate center, which is becoming less important today because of the types of telephone plans we have, but back in the day, it was you would be charged for your phone call based upon the mileage between the two rate centers, point A to point B. Again, that's becoming less relevant today, but that is the NPA NXXs are assigned to rate centers, not to an exchange. So what there has been, in my opinion, is a conflation between those two documents, even though their expert, Mr. West, conceded on cross-examination that they're two separate things.
Except I think counsel said that the way that the map was created in 1974 was by looking, okay, where are all of the NPA and XX codes that are associated with the Hopewell Rate Center? And now let's create a map where all those codes are inside of it. And then we'll do the same thing with the other 208 local exchanges. It seems like you're contesting that, but then how was the map created?
I will answer your question this way. What counsel said today is not supported in a record below. There was no testimony regarding that, that I am aware of, that was how the map was created.
So then how was the map created?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know, because it was not an issue at either the trial or appellate level. The issue was whether or not the local exchange is defined by the maps that were created by Verizon. No one disputed that they were created, but to suggest that somehow that did not represent what the understanding was is just factually not correct, especially at the time when the legislature adopted the statute. I also just want to comment. I didn't want to interrupt counsel on her opening, but she referenced the administrative code section, and I double checked the briefs that were submitted. I unless I'm missing it, I don't see that was in the briefs. I don't know what that section is, and I just want the court to know that the reason I'm not prepared to address it is it was not raised at the trial level, it was not raised at the appellate level, and it was not raised in the briefs submitted to this court. So I apologize, I'm not prepared to address that.
Other questions, anyone? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. Mantel, brief rebuttal.
Yes, John.
Just a few points. I'd like to direct the court to day one of the trial transcript, where Mr. West, Verizon's witness, page 73, testified that the map was based upon the assigned NPA and XX codes and the customer's locations in 1974. Also, at page 5 of Verizon's reply brief in this matter on the petition, we cite the New Jersey Administrative Code section 14:14-3.1 in footnote 3. And I'd like to address a couple of other points in counsel's argument. The first being that counsel said that when the taxing structure was, or when the taxing statutes were all restructured, his understanding was that the BPPT was supposed to essentially replace the graft tax for municipalities. That's not accurate. In the assembly statement, the Assembly Policy and Regulatory Oversight Committee statement, which is available in the record at Verizon's reply appendix in the appellate division, PRA 0094-96. It describes the fact that the gross receipts and franchise tax was being eliminated, but it was being replaced by the corporation business tax. And there was a separate fund that was being created, which would replace the revenue from the graft tax. The BPPT was not in any way intended to replace the revenue from municipalities. That was intended to be replaced by the corporation business tax and then the state fund that was created. Also, with respect to whether or not the tax would still be being paid by Verizon if the maps were used, they would not still be being paid. The influx of competition has created a situation where now in many of the LTEs, regardless of whether the maps are used or the NPA and XX codes are used, Verizon's market share has fallen below 51%. And specifically in Hopewell, the reason that Hopewell continues to pay the tax is because Hopewell's tax assessor continues to rely on the 2008 form PT10, which was submitted to issue the tax year after year after year. There has they have not done anything to bring that calculation.
But that's not our issue.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That's not our issue. That's not what's here.
It's not. I was just responding to what counsel said, Your Honor. But to that point, the regardless of whether the NPA and XX codes or the maps are used, in many of the jurisdictions, there is no tax because there's Verizon no longer has 51%. And finally, Your Honor, in 1997, when this statute was enacted, the legislature is presumed to understand industry terminology when it uses an industry term of art in its statute. And at that time, Verizon was the industry. It was New Jersey Bell then. But there was a monopoly. Verizon was the industry when this statute was enacted. And its definition that it has used since that time through today is what what local telephone exchange means.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you both, counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement.